When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for David this morning, and we've got Coach Wunstead in studio. And Dave, it was an awful, awful performance by the Bears out in San Francisco. I don't know what people were really expecting. The Niners still had something to play for. They have an elite play caller. They've got a great coaching staff down there. In addition to Sorensen, you got Brandon Staley working with that defense. They've got a lot going well for them. And even with all their injuries, still a lot of depth to that team. You know, we were kind of talking about it in the pregame. When you looked at the roster, okay, they're down tons of all-pro players, but you still have some awful good players available to you, and they looked pretty good in that game. Were you surprised by especially the first half on offense? It just, they got nothing done, and it was frustrating.
Yeah, I was, and not because I'm a Bears fan, okay, but I was on the Bears, okay, and it cost me in a couple ways. But anyway, that's another story. I really thought, because of what you said, Mully, good point, you know, because of the injuries that and the new coach that we would get and everything that I'm hearing, and I didn't talk to anybody, I'm just saying what I'm hearing, that the practices are great. The practices, yep, are upbeat. Everybody's into it. And then they confirm the pregame warm-ups are fantastic. I'm saying to myself, we're going to get a little surge here of energy, new coach, new staff, new play callers, all that stuff, whatever. Boy, yeah, it was disappointing. But the only question that I would have is, in a situation like that, I would have just liked to seen him come out and be a little bit conservative on both ends of the ball, offense and defense. And I'll tell you why. You're on the road, the crowd, I don't care what you say. Thomas Brown, I mean, he had to be nervous. I mean, excited, sure. Okay, whatever word. You got Eric Washington for, you know, calling off, doing the game plan and everything now. No floose on defense. He had to be. So what do you do in that situation? You let the players play fast. You keep it somewhat simple. And let me just see what Kyle Shanahan and these guys are going to do. Who's playing? Who's doing what? They're using two tight ends. They're using two backs. They're going to use three receivers, four receivers. Let me get a feel for this whole thing. And then we'll move into a little bit more of our complicated, sophisticated game plan. The Bears did it the opposite. We come out in the first six plays. We throw it six times and only run it three for nothing. And then defensively, we come out and become blitz mania. We become the 85 Bears and start blitzing every down, and it's a track meet. So that's the only thing that bothered me is just how they started the game. And then I'll turn it over to you guys. But the third quarter, the one opening drive that we had, how many minutes was it, Ruthie?
9 minutes.
9 minutes, whatever it was. Okay, we take the ball in the third quarter and go 16 plays for a touchdown. Guess what? 9 runs and 7 passes. That's balance to me. That's balance. That's how you keep the defense on their heels. And we did just complete opposite to start this thing. That's what disappointed me.
Why is the start still so slow? And Thomas even said it after the game. He's like, if I knew, I'd fix it.
Yeah.
If you look at the numbers, they are bad on first down and second down,
right.
And then they can't convert a third down. Their third down conversion is awful in the first quarter, and probably because they're going 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10 so much.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to come back to the running game. Why in third and down? If you take a knee, if you run quarterback sneak with Caleb Williams for two plays, Mully, I promise you, you're going to be probably 3rd and 5. Think about that.
They came out in play action without running the ball.
Yeah.
Don't you usually run and then go play action? I mean, it was weird.
Yeah, that's elementary. That is. I thought to myself, when we had 4 yards at half, you know what I said to the guys I was doing the post game at Marquee over there with Cole Wright and them, and I said, if we ran a quarterback draw, just what I said to you, every play in the first half, we'd have more than 4 yards. I promise you that. I guarantee that.
I saw this great tweet at halftime. It was like, if you got up and walked to your fridge to get a drink of water at halftime, you have more yards than the Bears. Like,
and yes. And go ahead, Ruthie.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
That's
and let's go back 3 weeks. This is another thing that frustrates me.
Yeah.
We sat right here and said, when the Bears started having a little bit of rhythm, address the offensive line first. That's got to be your starting point. What can these guys do? Running the ball and protection. Okay, we got that solved. Do we need to leave the tight end in there to block every time? Fine. I'm back in there. Yep. Do we need to give our left tackle some help so that Leonard Floyd doesn't just run by him and sack our quarterback?
Chip all day.
Let's chip all day. Whatever we got to do run-wise and then go to the passing game. We come out and we do it backwards, and the offensive line, again, is the last the way it looks to me, the offensive line is the last thought when they put this game plan together.
And to that end, Dave, the quarterback has been sacked way too many times. He's been sacked, I believe it is 56 times in 13 games. He's on track to be sacked 73 times.
And he's an athlete.
And I mean, he's a good enough athlete that it's not like they're getting clean shots on him.
Right.
But there was one play there where he got sacked. It looked like a hip drop tackle. Didn't matter. He kind of went with the guy and he went down and it didn't hurt him. But when that first happened, I was like, oh God, like, you're going to get this kid killed. How do you start dealing with that? You cannot have him get sacked 73 times in his rookie season.
You know, you mentioned Chip when I brought up the Leonard Floyd sack to help. You see, in play action first, Molly, you know, the thought came to my mind. How about the tight end screen? Now, that didn't just happen. You know what Kittle did on that play? He sat in there and blocked and chipped and chipped and then released.
Yeah.
So they have him in there blocking. So we assume that he's a blocker to help on the rush. But guess what?
That's a great point.
It's this play action pass.
They're not
everything,
even defending
every
him.
Nobody does a better job of the motions and the shifts that mirror the runs and the passes identical, No one does a better job in the NFL than Kyle Shanahan. He has since he's been the head coach there. They got the same runs and the same passes, and they look almost identical to the defense. And so they force you to defend, you know, everything on every play, the whole field. So, I mean, it
That's good stuff.
And wait, I had another point. Damn it. I had so much stuff. My head's hurting right now.
You got Big Ten. You got 30 jobs. All right, well, can I
go ahead?
Can I ask you something and then you'll come back to it?
Yeah.
I kind of brought this up at the beginning of the show with Mully, and I wanted to get your thoughts. With when a young coach takes over with five games left of the season, mm-hmm. and his message is, I'm going to change the culture. We're going to be accountable. We're going to unify this team. I'm going to, you know, we got to win games. Like, we got to learn. To me, and this is obviously just after what we saw on Sunday, like, maybe that message doesn't really resonate with a team at this point in the season, coach, when you have nothing to play for. Like, if Thomas Brown would have come out and said to his team and said, guys, we're all auditioning here.
Yeah.
No one's guaranteed to be here next year, including me. Put good stuff on tape, finish the season strong, and maybe we'll have a chance to do something good next year. I just feel like there's maybe this, you know, for him to come out and say, we're going to hold each other accountable. I'm going to unify this team. We got to stick together. Like, it's just kind of late for that at this point in the year.
Yeah. You would like to think not, but I think they say the right, and I think in these players' hearts that they like Thomas Brown. I think they respect him. I think the practice, but there's a between saying it and really laying it on the field. You know, there's such a fine line. And is it urgency? Is it what you're saying, Ruthie? A sense of, I don't want to use the word fear, but urgency that if I don't get the job, I'm not going to be here. You know what I mean? I think there's always got to be that with the players. I mean, you know, I used the example with Zach Thomas after his fifth Pro Bowl coming in and visit with me in training camp and asking me how's he doing? And I said, well, you're doing good. Why? And he says, well, what's my chances? And I said, your chances are what? And he says, well, what's my chances of making the team this year, coach? And I said, Zach, no, this is a true, honest to God story.
Yeah. I didn't know this story.
And I said, Zach, are you serious? And he says, coach, every day I go on the practice field, I'm worried about the guy behind me taking my job.
Wow.
I've got to have that approach.
That's why he was so great.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? But at 4'8", 40 linebacker, it was 5'10", you know? You know, but the point is that there's a five-time Pro Bowl or whatever, Hall of Famer now, that sat in my office and looked me in the eye and said, what's my chances? How am I doing, coach?
Yeah.
Are you going to keep me this? You know, am I going to make the team this year? Are you going to cut me?
Wow.
So put that in a, I mean, that's a fact now, people. That's how you approach this damn game with a sense of urgency. But the point that I was going to make.
Yes.
The Bears had.
Knew you'd come around.
Yes. The Bears had 70 some yards rushing and Caleb had 28 or 29 of it. Caleb had almost half of the rushing yards that the Bears had by scrambling. So my point is you take those quarterback scrambles out. And Detroit, they're sitting there right now saying to themselves, you know what? Take the scrambles out. The Bears ran for 35 yards the whole game.
There are very few people that go through life without making mistakes. It happens. But what does it tell you about the team focus when you get dropped passes from everybody? I mean, there were like you're top three, maybe four receivers, tight end, all dropped the ball. Did Rome Odunze have a drop? Everybody else definitely had a drop.
Early, I think he did. Yep.
So I'm just wondering, what does that say? Is that focus? Is that?
Yeah, you could say it's nerves, opening game nerves, but that's not the case. I think it's just focus. You know.
So how do you improve that as a coach?
Boy, you know, it's on the players at this point.
Find them.
You put them on the bench. Now you can't do that.
Yes.
You know, players make mistakes. Players have penalties. You know, Coach Shula, Don Shula, when I worked for him, he used to always say a 5-yard penalty. A penalty is just as severe as a turnover in his mind. Mm. You jump off sides four times in a game, you're not going to play. You turn it over for me, you're not going to play. So, I mean, that's the only result. That's not the answer at this point in the season. Kind of what Ruthie was alluding to. These guys got to say, hey, you know what? We're going to go out there and for pride, and we're going to play as good as we can play. And whether it's for themselves, Ruthie, to put good stuff on film, or whether it's for the coaches or who the hell ever it's for, but just, you know, be a professional, have pride. You know, you've got a great opportunity representing the Bears in this great city, and go out and play at the highest level you can play at. That's where we're at. That's where we're at.
Do you like this matchup for the Bears? They played well against them, but that was when they had felt like they had, you know,
they had a better coach,
an elite play caller on the defense. I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I thought Flus did a really good job in that game of limiting them with his defense. He did not give away touchdowns. He was allowing field goals in a lot of those red zone trips earlier in the season. I think he's a really good defensive coordinator. And I understand.
Excellent.
Yeah, I understand that the game management problems and all that really bit him. And, you know, I'm not going to argue about whether he had to go. I'm just saying.
You're right.
How are you going to match up against this team now on the road in a tough place to play? The Bears struggle on the road.
Well, I think you still got to start. If Eric Washington called me right now, I would say, in my mind, the lifeline of that team, don't lose sight of that Sam Darnold threw 5 touchdowns. I get that. But the lifeline of that football team on offense is Aaron Jones, the running back. That's the guy, that's the start of the game plan if I'm game planning. What are we going to do in what situations? I'd have to look at all the tape. What am I going to do to make sure I limit him? And I'm still coming back to, even though he's having a Pro Bowl year, I'm still coming back to Sam Darnold, you're going to have to beat me, okay? Because I do like our matchup. I mean, the strength of their team is, I just said Aaron Jones, but they're wide receivers.
They're crazy good.
Yeah. Good. You know, crazy good. But what's the strength of our defense? Our secondary. I mean, I'll take Kyler Gordon. I'll take Jalen Johnson. I'll take these guys matching up against them. You know what I mean? So we got good matchups against them. So I don't have a problem with that. You know, I think this is probably a game that we come out and we do what we have to do to take away the run, and we don't go crazy with the blitzes. You know, I mean, because I don't care who you are as a corner. You know, you don't want to be one-on-one with Addison too much or one-on-one with Jefferson too much.
Well, Jefferson is the better player, obviously.
Yes,
but
he did nothing when they were here.
Yeah. He's the one that killed them in that game.
Jefferson couldn't get going at all when they were here, and I think maybe that was the mentality of, like, if –
He picked up a couple of PIs.
Yeah, right. But that's all. But no, you're right. I agree. That's a good point. I mean, you know, that would be my starting point there. And then, you know, I mean, the Vikings, when you look at their defense, here's the issue. This is what, in the same thing you can't fall asleep on. You're going to look at the stats and you're going to see Minnesota Vikings number one stopping the run. Okay, they're the number one run stopping defense in the NFL because of a lot of their pressures. Well, guess what? Don't shy away from it, damn it. Let's line up and block these damn guys. And because if we pop one and we catch them in a pressure, it's going to be a long one. It may be a home run. So don't talk yourself out of it, was what they want you to do, and then get into throwing it, because they're complicated. You know, they line up with 6 guys at the line of scrimmage, and they may only rush 3. They may rush 6. But everything goes back to the quarterback, and I don't think that's fair that with a rookie quarterback you want to put that on him. It's just my opinion.
It's funny, the first time we talked about this matchup when the Vikings were here, we were talking so much about how's Caleb going to respond to this Brian Flores defense, and so complicated, and he always, you know, he's so good against rookie quarterbacks. This time it's all about how are the Bears going to stop them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the shift in these few weeks has been completely.
Yeah, no, the numbers support it. You know what I would maybe do this week, and I'd have to look at the tape. And I'm saying this stuff, people, without studying the tape. But we got about 6 tight ends on our damn roster. Okay, Everett, Mercedes Lewis, you're in. We're going 2 tight ends this week, and we're going to go 2 tight ends.
Maybe just try using
protection.
1 tight end.
We're going 2 tight ends this week.
Oh, protection.
Week, 2 tight ends, and we're gonna put Cole Kmet in there at fullback. And guess what, guys? We are running the damn ball with these guys.
Yeah.
I would do something drastic like that and just say, buckle up, because here we come. Brian Flores, let them adjust to that. Guys, we went down and we played the number one defense. I was at the Dolphins. It was a Thanksgiving Day game. And we were playing the Dallas Cowboys. Zimmer was their coordinator. Parcells was the head coach. They were blitz crazy. It reminds me of what I'm seeing at Minnesota. And they lined up. They stopped the run. Guess what we did? Guess our whole offensive attack? One wide receiver. Chris Chambers was the only guy.
Wow.
Everybody else was fullbacks and tight ends. And we beat the hell out of them.
Let's go, coach.
Dave, quickly, we'll let you go. Tremaine Edmonds signed a $72 million deal. He's having a terrible season.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not making any plays. How do you handle that? How do you handle it as a coach when you got a guy, highly paid player, he's going to be here because you got a lot of money invested, and he's not getting the job done? What do you do about it?
Boy, but obviously, he's seeing the tape. I'd sit down with him. The biggest thing is you can't talk about this stuff without having evidence. Yeah. So you sit down with the tape, and to me, the two biggest motivators for these pro players is money and peer pressure. So when I sit down, I would be watching this tape this week. I hope Eric's listening. I would be watching this tape with the entire defense.
Yeah.
And I would put every play on
stopping
there.
Stopping it. And,
coach, stopping it. Yeah. Whose play is that? If it's Edmonds, okay?
Yes.
Can we not make that play? Can we not cover him or tackle, whatever it is? And that's how you do it. You go through it with the entire group, and you're not embarrassing them, but you're calling them out. Damn it, everybody's got to be accountable. That's how you handle it. Thank you, Coach.
I love you, Coach.
All right. Yeah. Ruthie, it's so good having you here.
You're the best.
That is Coach Wannstedt. You're listening to Mully and Haw. We've got Ruthie Polinsky in here, and it is so good having you here. And Dave, we love you too, buddy. God bless you. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people. Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We've got Ruthie Polinsky in this morning for David. And what a delight to talk to the great man himself. John Heyman joins us on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. John, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, Mully. How are you guys doing over there?
Let me tell you, I'm going to say it because someone has to. Soto Schmodo, the Sox got Tauchman. First time that word's been ever uttered, I think. Yeah.
Oh,
boy. Hey, they got a player. I like the guy. He's from here. I mean, what the heck? I thought when the Cubs cut him, the Sox should jump on him, and I'm delighted to see them add a player, a guy I know. It's good.
That's nice. That's right. Yeah, the Soto and the Sox. That was a long shot, considering I think their highest contract is about 10% of what Soto got. So probably wasn't going to happen.
John, explain that to us. I know you know him and the whole story and everything that happened. I just from a distance, you know, you kept hearing that he was going to take every dollar on the table. And it's like they're the New York Yankees. Like, wow, the Yankees, I'm playing for the greatest team and all the, you know, that's a national, international brand. And they got the porch and he's a left-handed hitter. And, you know, and you're with Judge and you just went to the World Series. And to cross town, and I know he was going to take every dollar, but man, 15 years, 765, like how much do you need? Mm. Is his life going to be that much better with the Mets?
Well, maybe he only wanted to do 15 years. He wasn't up for the 16th year. I don't know. I do think he really did like the Mets. He had two meetings with the Mets. He had one kind of secret meeting on Friday at Steve Cohen's house, one of his houses in Boca Raton. And I think he was sold on the Mets and the fact that this guy was so motivated to bring him in and do his whatever he can to win. He's had the highest payroll in baseball the last couple years. And I think he was sold that going forward, the Mets would be just as good as the Yankees. I guess the history thing, tradition thing didn't really play with him. And I do think there was a little bit of a family situation there that really went unreported throughout the season, where the mother, I believe it was the mother or father was booted by one of the Yankee security people. And the mother was very involved, like me. He's a mama's boy. Unlike me, he is not married. He's only 26 years old, and I think he listens to his mother, and I think she was mad that she got booted. Wow. And another time this his driver slash chef was booted and made to wait on the rain. You know, George Steinbrenner had these overzealous security guys, and a couple of them are still left over, and they think their job is to hassle the family members and the media and not security for the players. And I think the mother was very involved, so I think – you know, I ran into really his mentor here in Dallas, and he basically told me for the last 2 weeks, even though the Mets weren't ahead on the money, I thought he was going to the Mets at that point. They were not ahead 2 weeks ago. So I think he actually liked the Mets better, and it is a little bit more money, yes.
John, Ruthie Polinsky here. I'm filling in for David Haw today, and this is getting some traction that the Yankees wouldn't budge, you report, on giving Juan Soto a suite at Yankee Stadium. Is this, talk to us about sort of how you learned that and sort of how much weight that carries.
Yeah, I mean, when I told this to Steve Cohen, the Mets owner, he said, you're kidding. That's really something. They should have just given the worst suite in the house and not worry about it. But, you know, I think they didn't want to set the, at least what I'm told, they didn't want to set the precedent. Judge pays for his suite. Jeter paid for his suite. And, you know, I mean, I guess they could have reversed it and given Judge the suite too. Maybe. Apparently the suite goes for close to $1 million. It's a lot of money.
Wow.
But they were willing to discount it, I heard. And so over 15 years, you know, let's say it's 500 $500,000 or that's actually worth or something like that. Wow. You know, we're talking about $7.5 million spread over 15 years. So that's not a lot of money. So it's a little bit surprising, but I think they didn't want to set the precedent. He's already coming in at double the money that Aaron Judge is making. And, you know, Judge didn't mind. He didn't care. He just wants to have a good team. But that is their reasoning, and that's it.
What now for the Mets? Are they out of all the other sweepstakes? Is that the end of the investment? Or with Steve Cohen, is he just, hey, that's chump change, let me check my couch and find another $20 million somewhere for a pitcher or whatever it is? What are they going to keep going?
Yeah, I mean, they need pitching. Right now, yep, they don't have a complete rotation, and they have got guys in that rotation. Senga with an injury question. They've got Montas, who really did not perform well last year, and he wasn't good when he was in New York previously. Certainly have questions and don't have a ton of starters. So they need to go get somebody. I mean, Manaea certainly makes sense. He was very good for them last year. You know, I've not heard to this point, and you never know. Situations are fluid. Steve Cohen can outbid anybody eventually, as we know and have learned and are reminded. So maybe they get back in on Burns or Fried, but certainly need pitching. I saw a report that Loaiza from the Yankees, a reliever, is talking to them. That is certainly a possibility. But, I mean, they're going to, you know, go for offense, I guess. And, I think Pete Alonso's got a good chance to end up back there. You know, I think he wants to do what he can to please Soto. He's thrilled that he's got Soto. And, you know, if Soto suggests to him, I could use a guy batting behind me. I lost Aaron Judge. And Francisco Alvarez isn't quite Aaron Judge. Maybe the Mets turn around and say, you know what, we're going to bring Pete Alonso back too. And I think ultimately that's the one that makes the most sense for Alonso.
And, you know, we heard from the Cubs yesterday. We heard from it was interesting to hear Craig Counsell. He said that the team's going to look different in spring training. Well, you know, they're trying to trade Bellinger by all accounts, so I'm sure it will look different. He said that Dansby Swanson had kind of core hernia surgery in October, and he thinks he'll be ready to go come spring training. It was something that bothered him all of the season. What did you make about that? We also heard from Jed Hoyer saying They weren't looking at Soto.
Never even pursued. Organizationally decided not to pursue that one.
But there'll be other players they look at. Oh, okay, well, that's nice.
Well, you know, it is a lot of money. I mean, I've been on this show many times saying the Cubs need to spend more money, but that would be quite a leap even for them. I mean, I know they're not the White Sox, but I think it was the Swanson deal is probably their biggest, 177, right? So to then go for, you know, four or five times greater than that, that's a leap for them. They don't do that. But I certainly would like to see them get some stars on that team, because they are basically a very average team right now. And you could trade Bellinger, but he came back. He decided this contract is good the way it is. He didn't think he would do better elsewhere. I mean, I'm sure some of it was he liked being on the Cubs, but he didn't think he would do better elsewhere. So if they think they're getting a big prospect back, I doubt it. I mean, at this point, the way the contracts are going, I do think he does have some value and they could get something back. But you trade Bellinger, you're not making a step forward. Then what do? The question is, what's next? I mean, are they going to go for Alonso? Are they going to go for a star? I mean, I have not heard them with Burns and Fried at this point. Yeah. I mean, you know, they were an average team last year. Are they taking a step forward or backward?
And you had tweeted yesterday, Carson Kelly, that looks like they're going to try to improve their catching situation, but that doesn't, you know, Pete Alonso is a guy that people are talking about, but I don't know how realistic that is either.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, at this point, to think that they signed big deals, maybe they just will never do that other than the manager. You know, I don't know. Wow. But, I mean, their revenues are high. The interest is spectacular. For years, we knew they'd always draw because it's fun going to those games.
Yep.
And they didn't need a good team. But, you know, they had one for a little while. You'd think that they'd want to redo that and reclaim some, at least, something of what they had a few years ago.
It was interesting to hear counsel talk about, you know, going to the playing the Dodgers in Japan, and you know, the Cubs got some big name Japanese players, and you know, it'll be fun to see. I saw that Ohtani will not be ready to pitch at that point to start the season. Are they going to pitch him at some point, John? Is that the plan for him to go back to being a starting pitcher, or will they be more careful with him?
Well, they're going to be careful. There's no question about it. I mean, he's the most valuable entity in baseball, even if Soto's paid the most. and they're going to be very careful with him. But, yes, you know, I mean, the interest was spectacular last year when he didn't pitch. Just the idea that he will pitch someday, and I do believe he will be a pitcher for them at some point. You know, I think realistically it was probably a stretch to think he would come back and pitch next year anyway. So not shocked by that, but, I mean, at the beginning of next year. I do think he will pitch at some point and probably next year. He is an unbelievable, unique talent that we've never seen before. And I think, to me, that is one of the biggest bargain deals ever. With all the money, they're making a profit on him. I mean, wow. You don't make a profit on individual players, but their sponsorship certainly exceeds what they pay him. I mean, they're paying him $2 million because it's $68 million deferred. But even if you count that as $45 million in present-day value, whatever, they're making sponsorship money way above that. So, I mean, that was the greatest move in baseball history as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, unbelievable stuff. John, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, John.
All right. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. That is John Heyman. He's with the MLB Network, the New York Post, doing the winter meetings and filling us in. Great stuff. I love John.
I covered the winter meetings last year for NBC, and it was so dead. I mean, we were on Ohtani watch, and it was just so quiet. And so I wanted to ask him, I know we ran out of time, but just about, sounds like it's hustling and bustling there. You know, it sounds like there's a lot of news and things in the works happening behind the scenes. So it was cool to have him
on. The Soto deal is incredible.
Unbelievable.
It's just mind-boggling, 15-year contract. And the Yankees did offer him 16, which is, I don't get that.
Not the suite, though.
No, can't have the suite. That's a very funny. I know of a player who had a contract, and the team went to him and said, hey, we'll give you a suite too. And the guy, like, wow, you'll give me a suite, and went for the deal, and they saved about $5 million on the contract because he took a suite. So the fact that you want one and you're not giving it to him, madness, that's crazy. All right, we've got so much to get to. Mike Florio joins us next. It's Mully and Haw. We got Ruthie Polinsky in this morning on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
Till we can't beat, beat!
Till we can't beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
What's up, Mr. Gator?
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky sitting in for David today, and we are delighted to welcome in Mike Florio. We love talking to Mike, and he joins us on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you today?
Well, you know, I'm a little bummed because your guy Kyle Shanahan declined the Bears job, apparently. And you got me all worked up. I had him buying his family home where his dad grew up. I mean, I just thought it'd be a great story. But, there's still John Harbaugh. And you said someone else called you, right? So the Bears job is coveted.
What happened was I wrote something about the take. And the take wasn't. And I was never starting a rumor that the Bears were going to trade for Kyle Shanahan. My point was, why do we get so caught up in the three buckets that traditionally produce coaches? Coordinator who's never coached before, fired former head coach, and college coach. Why not include guy currently coaching another NFL team that we might be able to hire away from that team, even if we have to trade for him? And my point was the Bears should be making these calls. I don't know what people are going to say. Make the calls to the spots where you think things might be uncertain now or in the future, and maybe you'll get lucky. That was my point. And the whole thing took on a life of its own, because people see what they want to see, hear what they want to hear, or whatever. I got another one for you, though. You might like this one. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about the coach, but there's been so much talk over the last couple of weeks about whether or not Jerry Jones is going to bring back Mike McCarthy. Dak Prescott has come out and said, wholeheartedly supports bringing back Mike McCarthy. Micah Parsons, bringing back Mike McCarthy. His contract expires after the season. He can go anywhere he wants. We never see a coach become a free agent. There's no salary cap. There's no franchise tag. Why shouldn't the Bears be interested in talking to Mike McCarthy, possibly hiring Mike McCarthy, pairing with Caleb Williams, bringing back to the NFC North? He's won a Super Bowl, 12-5 in 21, 22, and 23, which, you know, isn't good enough for some Cowboys fans, would be probably pretty good for Bears fans. So, I you know, McCarthy can leave if he wants. He'll be a free agent. And I think the Bears just need to factor that in. You wouldn't even have to trade for him. You just go hire him when the season ends.
Mike McCarthy reminds me of some people I grew up with on the south side of Chicago. He's got that Pittsburgh thing going. His dad was a cop who became a bar owner. He's a very down-to-earth guy that would play here.
That's a fascinating sort of thing to think about as well. Mike, Ruthie Polinsky here. I'm in for David Haw today. I wanted to get your thoughts on just sort of this Bill Belichick noise. How real is this conversation about him getting close to getting something done with UNC? Do you really see him in college? And isn't this someone that you think the Bears should also just at least talk to, pick his brain, hear what he thinks about the organization and sort of how they can, you know, get his thoughts?
Yeah, hi, Ruthie. And one of the things that I worked on over the weekend, I was trying to figure out why he ended up talking to North Carolina. And I was able to determine that none of the teams with vacancies have reached out to him at all. I had heard he's very surprised he hasn't heard from any NFL teams, because whether you have a vacancy or not, there are ways that teams that know they're going to be making a change can get word to Belichick. He's not under contract with any other team. They can talk to him if they want to. They don't have to ask anyone for permission. And I think he became dismayed by the lack of interest. And I think it became public last week in part because this is his message to all NFL owners and any other college programs. Hey, the train is beginning to roll out of the station. This is your chance. And have we seen anything? Have we heard anything in the last 6 days to suggest that there's an NFL team that's interested, that there's another college program that might be interested? We've seen none of that. Now, some of those programs and teams currently have coaches, so it's a little awkward, but there could at least be a report from one of the media people that Belichick controls, and there are more than a few of them, that there may be some other team. There may be a mystery team, but there hasn't even been that. It's been all North Carolina. So it won't surprise me if he takes it, because he's basically saying to the world, this is your chance, and I'm not going to be left holding the bag again like I was last year with no job. I'm taking this one, especially if I make it known to the world. I'm thinking about taking this one, and no one says to me, please don't take that job. We want to talk to you.
Mike, you famously took the Bears to win that Minnesota game. I know you're a big Vikings fan. You don't have to show it off. We understand. What do you think? What do you think about this time out? Are the Bears beyond winning at this point?
I did take the Bears to win, and I took them to cover, and they did by a half point. Thank you, half point. Usually it's another phrase ending in you that I say as it relates to the half point. But I feel like, look, I mean, the Bears got to prove that they haven't completely fallen apart. Even with Thomas Brown getting an opportunity, sometimes the wound can't heal. Sometimes it's just done. And I feel like the debacle that we saw on Thanksgiving, it's just done. And the Bears are going to walk into a Monday night game. Vikings are going to have these all-white uniforms. They're still chasing the Lions. They haven't clinched anything. They haven't even clinched a playoff spot yet. So I'm not going to make the mistake again of picking the Bears to win, which probably means that next Tuesday I will find my quarter zip somewhere in this room with a Bears logo on it, and I'll be wearing it and eating my words because because the Bears will probably win again.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Mike.
See you.
That is Mike Florio. And We talked earlier today about not giving the Bears the proper funeral, the end of their playoff dreams. Apparently not true. Bears are still alive.
They
the
are.
Bears, they need to, well, if they draw, they're going
to. Bigsy just tweeted this. Yeah. He was quote tweeting, Bears can be eliminated from wildcard contention this week. They are still alive, barely, but will be eliminated by any of the following. A loss or a tie at Minnesota, or Commanders win or tie at New Orleans.
All right, Bears alive. We got Jared Payton next. Mully and Haw with Ruthie on the score.